Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You will rarely hear a single college-educated woman seeking a long-term relationship with a college-educated man rave about the excellent dating scene and wide pool of available men that meet her standards in New York City. But you might hear from college-educated men about all the smart, accomplished women they've dated in Manhattan. And it's not just anecdotal. The dating pool for those two groups is actually very lopsided, with many more single heterosexual women than men. Here with me now to explain how it got that way and how it affects people's behavior is John Berger, a former senior writer at Fortune and Money magazines, currently a contributor to Fortune and the author of a new book, Datanomics: How Dating Became a Lopsided Numbers Game. Hi, John. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
So one of the women you spoke to in researching the book, her name is Lauren Kay, and she happens to be the founder of a dating service called Dating Ring, told you that, quote, people don't want to think of dating as a numbers game, but it is. What did Lauren mean by that, and what do you?
Well, since the 1980s, women have been graduating from college at a much higher rate than men. So today, among millennials, we now have 4 college-educated women for every 3 college-educated men. And this lopsided dating market doesn't just make it statistically harder for women to find a match, but it changes behavior, too.
In Manhattan, for example, you say there is a very real man deficit, quote unquote. What kinds of numbers are we looking at? Is it that 4 to 3, or is it even more extreme in a place like Manhattan?
It's a little worse here because cities like New York that are gay and lesbian friendly tend to have disproportionate numbers of gay men, but not of lesbian women. So once you kind of look at just the hetero dating pool, it's really more like 3 women for every 2 men, at least among millennials.
And that's in numbers, 100,000 more college-educated women than men in the heterosexual dating pool under the age of 35. That's a big difference.
Yeah. I mean, nationally, it's similar. Nationally, among people in their 20s, it's about 5.5 million college grad women versus about 4 million college grad men. So it's a little worse in Manhattan, but it's really a national phenomenon, too.
So if it makes you feel any better, college-educated women looking to date and settle down with a college-educated heterosexual man, it's not just a figment of your imagination.
It's not just you, it's the ratio.
So listeners, if you're a single college-educated woman and you're looking to date a college-educated man, does this ring true to you? Is the dating market lopsided? Give us a call. Ask for advice. Give advice. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. For my guest, John Berger, author of the book Datanomics: How Dating Became a Lopsided Numbers Game. So this lopsided female-to-male ratio of single college grads starts in college. Is it across demographic groups? I've heard some people say, well, this is primarily a black problem. How true or not true is
that? It is worse in the African-American community, where there's almost twice as many African-American women graduating from college versus men. But it's across all groups. Now, obviously, none of this would matter if we were all more open-minded about who we were willing to date and marry. But the research on this shows that what I call educational intermarriage is actually at its lowest rate in 50 years.
Educational intermarriage.
So basically, if you're college educated, you're increasingly unlikely to marry somebody or even date somebody who is not college educated.
It used to be that men didn't care as much, right? Men would, you know, the college educated man would marry his secretary or some stereotype like that. But now it's the college-educated men who don't want non-college-educated women as much as they used to marry.
Well, it's both men and women who are selecting mates with similar socioeconomic and educational levels. But it doesn't really matter as much for the men because there's this ever-expanding supply of college grad women. For the women, if they're narrowing their dating pool to include only college grad men, not only are the numbers more challenging, but they're kind of giving those college grad men way too much leverage in the dating market.
In college itself, I mean, I don't think there are a lot of schools that would admit that they have an affirmative action program for males, but I think there is a very conscious effort on the part of many, especially more elite schools, to try to balance out the pools, right?
It's kind of little known that private colleges are actually exempt from Title IX when it comes to admissions. So if you look at the top public universities like University of Virginia or Michigan, they accept women at a higher rate than they accept men. But if you look at a school like my own alma mater, Brown University, they accept men at an 11% rate versus 7% for women. So a lot of these schools are essentially doing what you're suggesting. They're giving an edge to men.
And you give an example of a school in our area, Sarah Lawrence, that has a very skewed gender balance, and you found that it affects dating and hookup behavior in a fairly extreme way. How?
Well, let me preface this by saying Sarah Lawrence is a fine school, and I'm not trying to badmouth them. There are all sorts of reasons to go to Sarah Lawrence that have nothing to do with dating. That said, there are three women for every one man at Sarah Lawrence. It's 75% female.
Historically female college.
Yeah, yes. And there's no question that the oversupply of women there makes the hookup culture much, much more intense.
Let's talk to Heather in the East Village. You're on WNYC. Hi, Heather.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your reaction to all this?
I just wanted to say, so I'm 29. I'm a graduate student at NYU. I moved here last year from Detroit, and I definitely thought it would be a little easier to find someone in New York, but yeah, I definitely think that what you guys are saying is totally correct. It's really hard to find someone who actually wants to commit and be in a serious relationship. So, yeah, that's basically what I have to say about that.
So, John Berger, before we let Heather go, you're more of a data guy than anything else, but do you give advice?
Well, I'm not the love doctor. Clearly, there are parts of the country where the gender ratios are better for women, but, you know, if you're 40 years old and you have a whole life in New York, you're probably not going to pick up stakes and relocate to Silicon Valley. But for a younger woman, somebody just starting out, if they're choosing between Manhattan or San Jose and marriage is really important to them, they might want to consider parts of the country like Denver or Seattle.
Huh. You say San Jose because the tech sector, Silicon Valley, is so male-dominated.
Exactly.
Which is a different problem.
Well, it's a problem for the guys, not for the women.
Right. Well, in dating terms.
For dating,
but
yes.
I mean, it's a problem of, getting more women into that.
Well, Brian, my goal is to single-handedly fix the gender ratio in Silicon Valley.
You're just going to focus on that one. Heather, thank you. Good luck out there. Daisy in New Haven has some advice. Hi, Daisy.
Hi. Can you hear me all right?
What? Oh. Hang on, we lost your line for a sec. We have you back.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Thanks. I went to Stanford. My husband went to Brown. We met about 15 years ago and are very happily married thanks to a group called Classical Music Lovers Exchange. I don't even know if it's around anymore. It was before internet dating, to date myself. But I would just suggest to the women out there that they do things to be really proactive and aggressive about meeting guys that have similar interests. In my case, it happened to be classical music. But there's so much in Manhattan, especially 92nd Street, why lectures, any kind of religious affiliation, sports. I really suggest meeting people with similar interests and values and,
Do your thing in groups. Daisy, thank you very much. I'm going to leave that there, self-explanatory. Jabani in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. I am a black woman, early 30s, moved here from the Midwest. And I found New York City to be a great, great place for dating, especially if you look at all the how-tos, and going online dating is great. And also being, like your speaker talked about, being very open to dating other races. And there's a lot of very nice guys out there who have degrees of all races who are open. And a lot of my girlfriends who are people of color, a lot of them have met people from, you know, online or the how-tos, like just getting out there. But I find a lot of women, they put so many barriers on who they date and, you know, the lines and stuff like that. So I've had, you know, a great time with my beautiful partner now. I just met happenstance. Just going to an art gallery, and he shared my same interest, and he happened to be Black, but I was so, and it's just a really good experience here.
Did he like walk up to you and say, "Nice sculpture, don't you think?"
we were both just enjoying the night at the gallery in Chelsea, and here we are today with the beautiful baby. So.
Oh,
that's a great story.
That's great, Jabani. Thank you very much for your call.
All right, thank you. Bye.
All right, Jabani has the secret. Somehow it was working for her.
Yeah, sometimes I call my book the least romantic book ever written about dating. There's room for magic and serendipity and for happenstance. People in New York will meet and fall in love.
So in this least romantic dating book ever written, we talked about your Sarah Lawrence example with so many more women than men, and hookup culture, I guess you're saying, being a little more prevalent there as a result. And then you found at Caltech, which has more men than women, that dating culture is totally different. What goes on there?
Well, the students there whom I interviewed, you know, said that it's fairly common for couples that get together freshman year to stay together all 4 years. And one of the students I interviewed told me that his dorm had this Valentine's Day tradition that I found incredible. So basically every Valentine's Day, the boys there make handcrafted Valentines for the girls and then wake up early in the morning to make them pancakes. And this jibes with most of the social science on gender ratios, which shows that when men are the ones in oversupply, the whole dating culture emphasizes courtship and romance much more.
Hmm. Karen in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Brian. I'm curious about, because I feel like I understand that you're talking about statistics and things like that, but I'm very curious about kind of digging a little bit underneath and other things you may have looked at in terms of, you know, one of the big things, I just started, I'm kind of old and I am just starting this whole internet dating thing. And so it's completely foreign to me. And I'm a big feminist. I don't really get what the big difference is between men and women. So it's really hard for me to understand some of the strange machinations of people, you know, who's paying for what and all those kinds of things. So within sort of your statistics, it seems like there's very few men who might, I mean, I don't have to date somebody who says I am, I'm a feminist and really whatever, that's kind of their life mission. But I think that having a real sense of, you know, that women are truly equal or maybe potentially way more awesome is something that is important to me.
So you can get a good you can get a good debate going by bringing up that we are way more awesome thing on your, on your first date.
That's an icebreaker right there.
But so you don't buy the theory that in the modern era, you know, today's millennial guys are a lot more enlightened in terms of gender relations than their parents?
I mean, part of it is that I'm 46, right? So that's my pool. I mean, I don't know what that is. But, I mean, it's not – and I think it, part of it is I just think that hookup culture – and I think there have been articles about this in the Times because I – I have nieces who were in college, and I was curious about what all that meant. And I think that what it shows is, just to talk really completely explicitly, I don't think sexually it's really that gratifying for women to have short-term relationships with men because they got to figure things out. So like that, you know, just as an example, and I see that, I think that because I'm a feminist, I think about stuff like that, like women's pleasure. So I think that anyway, I think I said a lot.
Well, yes.
You can have
and I can see the heads nodding out there. Like, I totally get there are a lot of you out there, Karen. There are other Karens out there having the same exact problem.
Yeah, what Karen said makes sense to me. But I think a lot of this does tie into the gender ratios in places like New York. The hookup culture is going to be more intense when there's three women for every two men because the guys have an incentive to play the field. They're less inclined to settle down just because their dating pool is so large.
We posted this on our Facebook page, this topic, before you came on. And one person wrote something that I think you'd agree with. Holly on Facebook wrote, well, just because you have a degree doesn't mean he needs to have one. I dated plenty of intelligent men that didn't have a degree but were intellectual and interesting guys, more so than some of the supposedly educated ones, unquote. Is Holly onto something?
Holly is absolutely onto something. And I approach this topic rejecting the idea that dating a guy who doesn't have a degree is somehow dating down or settling. I don't agree with that. And I also think it's inevitable that given given the oversupply of men in the working class dating market versus the oversupply of women in the college grad dating market, that we're going to see more of what I call mixed collar relationships, mixed collar marriages. And I think Holly is definitely onto something.
Holly and everybody, good luck out there as we leave it with John Berger. That's B-I-R-G-E-R in case you're looking for his book. B-I-R-G-E-R, John Berger, a former senior writer at Fortune and Money magazines, currently a contributor to Fortune and the author now of Datenomics, How Dating Became a Lopsided Numbers Game. Thank you very much for coming on.
You're welcome.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come. Stay tuned.